यत् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणा अघम् दुन्वन्ति कर्ष्ण्येन निहारम् एव भास्करः केचित् some people केवलया भक्त्या by executing unalloyed devotional service. Vasudeva to Lord Krishna, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parayana, completely attached only to such service without depending on austerity, penance, cultivation of knowledge or pious activities. Agham, all kinds of sinful reactions. Dunvanti, destroy. Karchnyena, completely, with no possibility that sinful desires will revive. Niharam, fog. Eva, like. Vaskaraha, the sun. Translation, only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear, as stated in the Bhagavatam 10.14.4. Shreyakshatim bhaktim udashyate vibho nishantite kevala bodha labhyate. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without a separate endeavor. Vakti parishana bhava viraktir anyatra cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity as an eternal servant of Krishna has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Paragraph. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, concerning Karmakanda and Gyanakanda could not satisfy him. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 7.3. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Translation. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically, no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayana. This is ignorance. Paragraph. To indicate the purity of bhakti devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya vilashita shunyam ena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. Translation. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Shuddhi is kleshagni shubhada, which means that if one takes to devotional service all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely, and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha laghu. Takrit, laghut, is the importance of liberation. Paragraph. It's a long purport. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful, fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions, taka, maha, pataka, and ati, pataka, and also into two divisions, prarabdha and aprarabdha. So we'll find out what these terms mean. Prarabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at present, and aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. This is nectar devotion. When the seeds or bija of sinful reactions have not fructified, the reactions are called aprarabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they were first planted, because the prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. Paragraph. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha, and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.19, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, yatagni Radarchi karotye dhamshi bhasmasat tatamad vishaya bhaktir udha vai namshi krishnashaha. My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-6 in a verse spoken during Lord Kapila's instruction to his mother Devahuti. Devahuti said, Yan nama dyeya shravananu kirtanad yat pravanad yat smaranad api kvachit svadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kutakpunaste bhagavanu darshanat. Translation, my dear Lord, if even a person born in a family of dog eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you, and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a brahmana and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? Paragraph. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all the reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases, mentioned previous. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately. Some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. And you'll be happy to hear the final paragraph. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. One, santata, or devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And two, kadachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service, or santata, may also be divided into two categories. One, service performed with a slight attachment. And two, spontaneous devotional service. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundara Ki Jai. And then the second category, intermittent devotional service. Kada Chitki may be divided into three categories. And they all have very interesting Sanskrit terminology. Raga Bhasa Mayi. What's that? Devotional service in which one is almost attached to. Raga Bhasa Shunya Sarupa Bhuta. Or devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And three, abhasa rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse, that's this abhasa rupa, even if one has caught a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta atonement are suspended, superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. That's the second or intermediate type. Even in the stage of Abhasrupa Bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Rupa Goswami expresses the opinion that the word karchnyena in the verse means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by Abhasa Rupa Bhakti. The example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The Abhasa feature of bhakti is compared to twilight. And the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun needs do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of a sinful life is immediately vanquished. Like Ajamila, and that's the very next verse. Because the speaker of this verse is Shukadev, and it's the theme of the canto, it's the theme of the bhakti process, in a broad sense, is the theme of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, because the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching bhakti. There's many things, but the essence of what it's teaching and nurturing and facilitating is bhakti. And I selected this verse because I was given the license to select a verse for this morning to be consistent with the japa retreat we just held. So, the theme of the retreat, the holy name is everything. Is illustrated by the explanation given by Shukadeva Goswami following this verse to the next, you know, 2.5 chapters is the Ajamila story, where it was the abhasa of nama or namabhas. This verse is speaking of abhas bhakti, bhakti abhas, shadow of devotional service. And namabhas or bhakti abhas are very powerful. What to speak then of Shuddha Nam or Shuddha Bhakti? And it's Christmas morning. So here we are at the Hare Krishna temple on Krishna's morning, because there's some faith in the bhakti process that we all share. And major mission in our being here for the weekend and here this morning is nurturing of faith in the bhakti process, specifically nurturing faith in the chanting of the holy name. Sit still. Sit still. Thank you. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the first three chapters of this canto, are nurturing faith in the holy name. It's, in the broader sense, nurturing faith in the bhakti process, because by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by chanting Krishna's holy name in this manner, its power, its laser focus is stimulating, awakening desire to be in Krishna's service. That's the definition of the mantra that Prabhupada has given us. O energy of Krishna, Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. That's the power of the Maha Mantra that we're chanting. Whether we recognize it or not, whether people on the street recognize it or not, that's the specific power or focus of Maha Mantra. And then from this Maha Mantra chanting, devotional service in various forms, awaken. And then, so, Shravanam, Kirtanam, then comes the other forms of devotional service. Remembering and worshipping the deity form and offering prayers and the other forms of devotional service, they start from hearing and chanting. Emphasis here and emphasis in the Hare Krishna movement is upon chanting. And there's a reason for it. Of course, it starts with hearing. What are we going to chant? Because we're going to chant something. If we don't hear the mantra, we're going to chant something else. Squawk, squawk. So it starts with hearing, but proper hearing indicates that we're chanting. So it's the activity that follows the activity of hearing from the right source and hearing in the right mood that says, yes, at least let me try. So that's this faint abhas. Later in the chapter, there's categories of abhas. In the case of Ajamila, it was unintentional, Hela Namabhas. He wasn't intending to call Lord Narayan. He was intending to call his son, who was named Narayan, because Supersoul reminded him or inspired him from his previous life as a Brahmana to name his son Narayana so that at the time of death he would call his son, who he was attached to, Narayana. And then there's the joking kind. Like when we go on Harinam sometimes and people pass by and they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ha 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 ha. That's Namabhas. One little Prabhupada story, quickly, it's a longer version. One morning class at our Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn, Prabhupada was speaking on devotional service, and I remember very vividly, Trivikram Swami, who had taken sannyas while Prabhupada was there, he stood up to ask the first question, and it said, Prabhupada, when people make fun of the holy name, just like right across the street from the temple at that place, it was a rented place, was a, elementary school. So there were children that, this is, because it was Brooklyn, this big wrought iron fence about, 10 feet tall. Spikes on the top, so the kids couldn't climb out of the schoolyard. But so they would line up at the fence when we were coming and going from Harinam, and they would line up and make fun. So Trivikram Maharaj was thinking, this is offensive and maybe we should do something about it. So he asked, that was the source of the question, and Prabhupada said, no, that is very good. He didn't detail, but the detail is here, Sanamabhas, joking. Or the type that Shishupal did, scorn and derision. It's another type, Sanskrit term for it. Fantastic. I mean, his attitude isn't fantastic, but that he was calling Krishna's name again and again and again, that was fantastic. Look what happened. He got liberation. He got, a little reaction for his scorn and derision program, but he got purified. It was one of the standards that Prabhupada said about Back to Godhead articles. how many times is Krishna's name mentioned in the article? Or when a newspaper article would come, and if it was favorable, unfavorable, he said, count how many times they said Krishna. So, Prabhupada had a great faith in the holy name, as mentioned earlier. This Mayavadi sannyasi that came to see him in Chennai, and he told that story the other day. He had such faith in the holy name. Even he was speaking ill of Srila Prabhupada, which is, from our perspective, that's offensive. But Prabhupada was having him go on and on, not getting angry at him, but appreciating he's saying Krishna's name again and again. He'll become purified. I mean, there's other perspectives than that one, but that's the faith in the holy name message that I want to share this morning. Even in the Abha stage. So the context of this verse is, as mentioned in the purport, quickly, the end of the fifth canto Bhagavatam is a description of the hellish planets. The latter part of the fifth canto is Vedic cosmology, and it ends with the hellish planets, and hearing about the hellish planets opens up the beginning of Canto 6, where in Chapter 1, Maharaj Parikshit, hearing about the hellish planets, wants to hear from Shukadev, what can be done? What's the antidote to the poison of sinful activities and then the reaction to sinful activities? That's the disease that comes from the poison. And then the suffering that people are going to have to undergo in the hellish planets that you just described. What can be done to cure people or free people from the reactions of sins? Sins and the reactions to sins. Keeping it really simple. Maharaj Parikshit hears from Shukadev Goswami three options. And the first two options are insufficient. Atonement is a Vedic process for sinful activities. But it's insufficient because it may neutralize, if done properly, it may neutralize the reaction of the sins, but the tendency is still there and they go do it again. And then, well, in addition to atonement, knowledge, because if you know better, less likely you do the same thing again. But that's insufficient because many people know better and they still do things that are not to be done. We ourselves know better on a number of things and we do those things anyways because tendency is strong, as mentioned in the purport. May take some time. Knowledge may hold the fort for a while, but tendency will come back. And therefore, as mentioned, Maharaj Parikshit, knowing his student, Shukadeva Goswami went to the next and final, which is bhakti. And built into the verse, kachit, some but not very many. It's special. I will honor all of you. You're special. Not just my opinion on the strength of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. At least special in the sense that having an interest to go beyond pious and impious activities. Because, well, pious activities are better. Mode of goodness is better than ignorance and passion. But it's inadequate. And those that understand it's inadequate take to devotional service. Now, sometimes there's this desire to bring in to devotional service the modes of nature. Sometimes the mode of goodness, imported in terms of let's do some philanthropy. And I'm sure we've all experienced it. I could narrate my experience, some of the experiences with people that say, what are you doing to help people? And don't tell me you have temples. And don't tell me you have books and knowledge. I want to know what you're doing to help people. I mean, you know, in kind of like a challenging spirit. So don't give me that. Tell me what you're doing to help people. Because that's their expectation. Prabhupada writes it in the Isha Upanishad. It's one of the greatest obstacles is in propagating bhakti, is people expect, oh, you're a spiritual or religious organization. It's your job to help people who are less fortunate. And Prabhupada's answer, that's the job of the king. You know, the social services program of the government. Doesn't mean devotees can't do that. We do that. We should do that. However, for whom are we doing that? For whom are we doing anything? But people don't ask that for whom part. They just, you have the experience. That's their expectation. So, we do some things like that, like food for life and whatever else, without detailing. Without detailing. I want to stay on the topic here of bhakti has the power that other pious, impious activities don't have, that knowledge doesn't have, like the messages from the previous verse. Supposing you have a bamboo forest and you have a big fire and all the leaves that fell from the bamboo trees are now burned, and even the bamboo trees can be burned. You just got barren land. You took care of the bamboo forest and all the leaves that fell to the ground. But wait a while, because if the root is still there, what's going to happen? It may take a while, but the root is still there. A little shoot will come. You have another bamboo forest. Without uprooting the bamboo, it's going to grow again. That's this tendency. And the tendency for, even the tendency for pious means there's a mix of impious. And even pious, it has its bondage. And there'll be a mix of impious. And you do your atonement process by the Vedic process. But it's still there. Tendency is still there. It's still bondage. It's how to get free. It's perplexing. Like in third chapter Bhagavad Gita. What's a good person to do? If you engage in activity, there's bondage. And you can't not do activity because you're a spirit soul. You have to do something. So damned if you do and damned if you don't. What do you do? Oh, good soul, what are your options? And the option, very clearly, is in Bhagavad Gita and explained so nicely in the Bhagavatam in further detail, it's bhakti. So this kechit kevalaya bhaktya. Kevala is a strong word, like absolute. Absolute. Nothing else but in the word for word. By executing unalloyed devotional service. Well, we're not there yet. We can cultivate that sadhana, but we're not at the stage. Still, according to Rupa Goswami, he's very generous. Even if you're cultivating, bhakti is a sort of cultivation, Prabhupada writes. Anushilana. You're following the Shila, the conduct, the character, the activities of great souls. We're supposed to be doing that. That's the bhakti, sadhana bhakti process, cultivating. And that counts as uttam bhakti, although it's just in the practicing stage. You just keep practicing and practicing like that, not keep the mix going, but cultivate the unmixed devote, just like cultivating taking full shelter of the holy name, or cultivating through proper sankalpa the intention of receiving Krishna and the fullness of Krishna, the whole of Goloka, just through the name. It's amazing. So striving towards that, that's the cultivation part. It's very powerful. Kichit kevalaya bhaktya. Unto whom? Vasudeva. Krishna. Vasudeva parayana. Parayana. Nice word. Parayana. Completely attached. Parayana. Well, we're not there yet either. But because we're attached to stuff of the temporary nature, along with cultivating attachment to Vasudeva. So we're in this mixed position, and consciously we need to strive to make our attachment to Vasudeva stronger, and then, as we're hearing in the purport several times, the attachment to the temporary subsides. You have to be willing to let go of the temporary, otherwise it won't go. Krishna doesn't force us to let go. There has to be a willingness, but willingness to let go, is our bhakti process is not give things up. Our bhakti process is accept things favorable, and then in turn, on that strength, reject things unfavorable. And it's gentle and gradual and progressive. But there has to be a willingness to let go, like pull the anchor when you're rowing the boat. You have to pull the anchor. There has to be a willingness to go from where we are to where we want to go. And letting go is part of the process. Pratikulyash of Arjanam. But it follows, as we said yesterday, put the horse in the front and it'll pull the cart. Make your conscious effort to contact Krishna, and you'll find all kinds of anchors, not just one. All kinds of attachments to the temporary, not just one. Maybe there's a favorite one, or two, or three, or ten. But there's so many attachments to the temporary. Asat Krishna, in the language of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Thirst for the temporary, the impermanent. Seeking happiness in fruits, and fruit of results is something you can enjoy, so we're attached to fruit of activities for those reasons. And it's ignorance. There's no happiness there. It's misery. It's suffering. You have to be willing to let go of the sources of misery if you want to get rid of misery. So the asat Krishna, the ignorance, is something we need to let go of through the association of those who are bhaktas. I mean, many of the persons who shared yesterday evening, the strength to chant the however many rounds, the 32 rounds or the 64 rounds or the 144 rounds, it's not easy to do that, you know, in your living room. Or in the temple room in your home. It's doable, certainly. But, so, association to devotees is so important. And from that, the strength of the bhakti grows. Here's a little, for me, a visual. Supposing there's a fire, like a campfire or something like that. And after some time, the glowing red, but there's no flame because it's kind of gotten to that stage. So if you want fire again, it's really simple. Really simple. Take some kind of instrument, a stick or something, and bring the coals together so they're kind of piled up close to one another. And just go like that. Fire will come. Flames will come. Similarly, we're like those coals. There's some bhakti, and it's not as strong as it could be. It's not as strong as we would want it to be. So functions like what we just have gone through, come together, pack ourselves together, and here and chant together and worship together. And then a little flame comes. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and he was explaining the principle of preaching. It's really simple. He said, preaching means see where there's a little spark. And go like this. He moved with his hand. Not too much. Not too little. You have to find out what the right too much too little is. And then the spark becomes a little flame. And he looked around. So, you know, see, did you get it? And then he stepped back, you know, said, and a great preacher is they can turn that flame into a big blaze. And his eyes got really big. And that's what Prabhupada did. You know, he brought together some people. A little spark, kind of, you know, covered, but a little spark and went like this. Kirtan, Bhagavad Gita class, 3 nights a week, and then came a flame, and then flame came a blaze, and then it's the blaze spread, because he was expert. So, similarly, just our coming together like this and doing the things that we've been doing, it's meant, the intention is to make the spark a flame and then carry that flame forward. Just like Devaki Nandan was saying yesterday evening, you know, let us see if we can come together however frequently, and, you know, good intention, and let's see what really happens. But the principle doesn't change whether it's done or not locally. Periodically, come together and attend Mangal Arati, chant Japa together, have a nice Guru Puja and greeting of the deities in class. You can do all that in your home. There's no restriction. And many of you are doing that in your home. And to do it together, as well as doing it at your home, there's some strength, and spiritual strength in all of that. So now, back to the verse. Keshit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. This is this exclusive bhakti. Agham dunvanti karchnyena. Agham is really easy to translate. It's sin. And with sin comes its reaction, sinful reaction. Even there's this nice English word, onomatopoeia. You've heard that word before? A word that sounds like the meaning. Like agham. Like somebody hits you in the chest and you go, agham. Agham. Dunvanti karshnena. Dunvanti, destroy. And karshnena is completely. And Prabhupada puts in parentheses, with no possibility that sinful desire. Not just, because that's the topic. How do you get free from that hellish planet destination? Well, you can't just stop the prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. Some of you have homes. And if you have homes, you probably have a lawn. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just live in an apartment. But outside the apartment, there's a lawn. And in the lawn, commonly around here, there's dandelions. So the guy comes along with the lawnmower and mows the lawn, and the dandelion thing is gone. But what happens? It grows again, quickly. It grows quicker than the grass grows. And then you let it go, and it gets dandelion, whatever it is, seeds, and the wind comes, and it you get more dandelions. Across the street from, almost across the street from the Naperville Center, there's this dandelion forest. You know, it's a plot of land that there's nothing on it and seems like it's neglected, and I don't know, a lot of dandelions. There's probably some finite number, but there's a lot of them. And, you know, I'm sure it's the dandelion seeds are blowing all over the place and neighboring. Anyway, so prarabdha karma is mowing your lawn. But then there's the thing that's beneath. So these four stages we know from nectar devotion. Seed, starting to fructify, almost fructified, fructified. 1, 2, 3, 4. So atonement deals with the prarabdha, but not the other three. So now how to deal with the other three? Knowledge isn't sufficient. Knowledge is good. But knowledge that real knowledge, as we heard actually already this yesterday, is that which nourishes bhakti. That's real knowledge. So you're a teacher, you're a parent, you're a leader of something or other. That's the real teacher, the real parent, real mother. You give this knowledge that shelter in the holy name is everything. Because by that shelter in the holy name, the root of the dandelion weed can be pulled. The root of the tendency to engage in activities that are pious or impious. Because mixed with pious, there's always impious. And then there's bondage to birth and death, and there's reactions to the impious, and there's suffering. And so the real solution, the real education, real knowledge is giving that. Now, you can't make the decision for somebody to say yes. They have to say yes. And there can be an unwilling yes. Or like, you know, the kids in the neighborhood where they were just making fun of Krishna's name. Another little story. Once upon a time, I was traveling. And it was a time when I was traveling by Northwest Airlines, when there was Northwest Airlines. And the hub for Northwest was Detroit. So I was going from one place to another place, passing through Detroit. So I was off of the one plane waiting for the next connection. And down the hallway, waiting for the next flight, was a whole group of employees. And they were laughing, and, you know, co-workers. And then amongst the co-workers, there was something like 6 or 7 of them. One of them stopped dead in his tracks and told his friend, "You keep going." He came over to me and said, Are you Hare Krishna?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, no." I was wondering, what is that all about? Said, "What's wrong?" He said, "When I was really small in elementary school, we lived right across the street from the Hare Krishna temple." And I said, "I was living in the Hare Krishna temple right across the street." And he went, "Oh, no." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "We were really bad. You know, we threw rocks through your windows, and you left cars in the street, and we burned the cars that you left parked in the street because we wanted those parking places ourselves, and we were really bad." I said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Oh, no." And he said, "You know, I've regretted that again and again and again and again as an adult, all those bad things that we did. But you know something? That melody that we would make fun of, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, said, it's been in my mind ever since. Just in the middle of anything, just that melody will come in my mind. In fact, just today, I was with my co-workers, and it was in my mind, and I sang the song, and they were laughing at me like we were laughing at you. Ha, 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 ha. And then I saw you. So I had to, please forgive us, me, for all those bad things. It was really bad. And actually, he went in the positive direction, saying, actually, you helped so many people. You fed so many people, and you were kind to people, and they were so mean to you, and you never retaliated. And please, in addition to forgive me, please keep up the good work. And I thought, okay, this is Krishna speaking through this fellow. Keep up the good work. Because at that time, Harinam, public Harinam, wasn't as prominent as it was previously. And something that we should make Harinam prominent again. Why? Who can say? The Shobha Namabas people that make fun, they're getting so much benefit. Who can say? Who can say? He's not necessarily become a sadhaka, but he's got Krishna on the mind. Manmana. And it didn't start, favorably. Who can say? So this Namabhas, now, has this young man become free from even the tendency to commit sinful activity? At least we should know, with faith, the potency is there. The potency is there for that fellow. The potency is there for us. It's an equal opportunity organization. It's available for anybody, everybody. And what's helpful is faith. So the Bhagavatam helps nourish that faith. That's why I picked this verse. Very powerful. And there isn't anything else that compares with it. There's many other things to say on this topic, but there isn't anything. Harirnam Eva Kevalam. That's Eva Kevalam. There isn't something else. Just like the verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, instructed him for a week. In one verse, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. Same phrase. Kalo nascheva, 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 gatiranyata. Meaning, there isn't an alternative. Na asti eva. There isn't an alternative. There isn't an alternative. There isn't an alternative. Is there an alternative? What about something else? There isn't an alternative. Now, are we fanatics? Well, we're followers of the Vedas that tell us there are other things that are beneficial, but those things that are beneficial, they're insufficient. I was asked this question recently by somebody that had a nice initiated devotee that had a bad experience without the detail of the bad experience. And one of his questions was, and I want to know if Prabhupada said it, if people are part of some other tradition, are they like less intelligent? It seems to me that's, forget the word that he used, but proud and improper. Could Prabhupada actually say that? So, not less intelligent, but there's degrees of good fortune and beyond of the holy name. Prabhupada would encourage whoever he met. Take shelter of the holy name. Whatever your tradition is, chant that name. If you don't have a name, here's one. But chant the name. Because Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. There's that Kevalam. Or Keshit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. That's the special thing. We're very fortunate. We've had somehow good fortune that the process of bhakti came our way. We may have been looking for it. We may have been looking the other way. The process of bhakti came to us. And we were made fortunate. All we did was say yes. Maybe a mild yes. Maybe a medium yes. Maybe a strong yes. But we said yes. Now that good fortune is increasing. So keep saying yes. And keep going further. This is nourishing faith now. Keep going further in the bhakti process. Because it will take you, as described here, beyond anything that pious, impious, good karma, knowledge, and any other thing can give you. The other things can't give you the same thing that bhakti can give you. It's not pride. It's just statement of scripture. Bhakti has that power. Please take it. And other, you may have some attraction for something else. Make sure bhakti is there. It's having a discussion with somebody about their education, options, and so on. Make sure that if you do that, career development, da-da-da-da. Is it for the pleasure of Krishna? Because if not, it's bondage. Maybe, you know, higher grade bondage. But it's bondage. And Bhagavad Gita's teaching is to go beyond that. Abrahma bhuvana loka purnar arvartan arjuna. Don't, other than that, the bhakti program. What's that? Whatever it is that you do, do it for Krishna. And if something isn't clearly that this is for Krishna, be very cautious about it. Think twice, 10 times, 100 times, and before you like convince yourself, yeah, it's for Krishna. Make sure it's for Krishna. No. And we'll speak something about that after breakfast. So I'm supposed to end so we can have breakfast. And then on exactly on this topic that I'm ending up, how to cultivate that for Krishna consciousness. Now, any comments or questions? Do we have a portable mic? Oh, you got it. Okay. Is it on? Yes? Okay.
As you were talking here about the devotional service is the only way to get free from the cycle of birth and death. My mind was going to chapter 14 is explained, and in the purport, Prabhupada writes, "Goodness helps one relieve from sinful reactions."
Yes, that's correct.
So I was wondering if you could explain how would goodness do that when we are saying devotional service is the best?
How do you put those two messages
yes.
together? Put it in simple terms, like here's some windows. And over there is wall. So we don't know what's on the other side of the wall because it's a wall. But we can see what's on the other side through the window. We're not on the other side, but we can see what's on the other side. So mode of goodness is like a window. We're still here in the modes of nature, and ignorance and passion are still secondary but competing. And sometimes passion supersedes goodness and so forth. But it helps to see what's on the other side. Like, you know, at least notionally, conceptually, what does it mean that I'm spirit soul? I could easily say, yeah, I'm spirit soul. I accept it. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you live your life accordingly? So the mode of goodness helps get a picture of reality with a capital R. What's on the other side of material existence? At least conceptually, notionally. It helps. But we're still on this side. Within the bondage position. because mode of goodness gets the bondage of mode of goodness reaction, because that's the nature of how the modes work. But it helps.
So, is it a correct understanding that we are directionally moving in that direction, not necessarily that goodness will help free from all sinful reactions?
That's correct.
Okay.
Atonement and knowledge, those two. Karmakanda has atonement, it's elevation, and then atonement for inadvertent mistakes, even in Karmakanda or good activities, there's some mistakes. Atonement neutralizes, if done properly, the reactions. But there's still the tendency. But it like this beyond tendency. That can be better understood in the mode of goodness. And then you still have to make the step. And then make the step requires association with a bhakta who can not just, you know, say, this is what it looked like. I mean, that's a beginning, even. Vartma Pradarsh world is that away. But that's introduction to bhakti. Okay? Yes, over here. Raise your hand again, please.
Good Maharaj, Hare Krishna. My question is, how can we gauge ourselves that the activity that we are doing is for the pleasure of Krishna?
I'm going to ask him to turn up the volume because you're speaking too softly. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Try again. Third time.
How do we gauge? Mataji's question is, how do we gauge if the activity we are doing is giving pleasure to Krishna? Is pleasing to Krishna.
If our activities are what?
Pleasing to Krishna.
Pleasing to Krishna. Well, ask Krishna. And in Bhagavad Gita, he describes what's pleasing to him. Right? The end of chapter 12 is one example. This pleases me very much. And what you'll find there is largely it's qualities, but it's also activities. But activities minus qualities, that's not displeasing. It's the qualities. And qualities are symptoms of, we know from chapter 13, knowledge. So, offer with simple fruit, flower, leaf, water, Krishna is pleased. So then you could say, well, how do I know if I'm offering with love and devotion? And Prabhupada's answer to that is everybody knows. Like, how do I, if sincerity is necessary, then how do I become sincere? Well, everybody knows what sincere is and becomes sincere. That's Prabhupada's answer. Sincere. That means, so, monitor. Mind the mind. Monitor the mind. Is there some other intention here when I'm doing something that is not, you know, I want to please Krishna. And do I have some other pocket where I'm putting, you know, my happiness over here? Generally, yes, because we're conditioned souls. So, how do I get to the position where it's for Krishna only? And if you ask that question, you'll find so many other things. It's a mix of what we're doing. Is it pleasing to Krishna? Or is it for Krishna's pleasure? A lot of stuff. And then we want to get to the position where it's not that we don't do those things, but just do them exclusively for Krishna's pleasure. That's pleasing to Krishna. How do we know that? Well, sincerity. How do you get sincerity? by being sincere. That's Prabhupada's answer. We know what sincere is. Be sincere. Does that help? Okay. You could say, you know, ask your spiritual master and ask your husband. Ask your best friends. Not just the people who pat you on the back. People who, you know, will be honest with you and say, is this pleasing to Krishna? And they'll ask you, you know, what's in your heart? And you'll say, mix. Okay, well, make the mix unmixed. And then that's more pleasing to Krishna than pleasing to Krishna. The unmixed. Like that. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Actually,
you got
it's
a powerful
same.
Voice compared to hers. Turn the volume down a little bit. Turn the volume down a little bit. Nataraj? Oh, he's doing it. Okay, go ahead. He doesn't have to go in the booth. He can do it in a little pad.
Is it okay? No. Yeah. So the actually, I had a similar question.
You had a similar question.
Yes.
Speak slower.
My struggle is in a kind of chain of activities, the consciousness that it is pleasing to Krishna sometimes dwindles, sometimes it goes down, and in the chain of activities, when you're like continuous activities that you have, it is, I struggle to keep that consciousness.
Yeah, sure. It's called Anishtata Bhakti.
So,
welcome to the club.
That's a struggle I undergo, so I was.
You're a card carrying member of the Anishtata Bhakti program. So, what to do?
Yes, the steadiness, how do we get it?
Bhajana Kriya, that's what you do. You cultivate carefully. Cultivate carefully. As you cultivate carefully, you'll see the unsteadinesses more than you'll see if you just look for unsteadinesses. Cultivate bhakti for the pleasure of Krishna. You'll see where it's otherwise. Cultivate it. And however long it takes, you just keep cultivating it. And then you'll discover lapses, or maybe it's the other way around. Every now and then you're thinking of for the pleasure of Krishna. And that was nice. And then comes, you know, another week of not remembering for the pleasure of Krishna. So anyway, you cultivate. You cultivate. That's it. Carefully, thoughtfully, consciously. Okay? Now, the question you're asking, give him the microphone, please. The question you're asking is a topic that we're going to be discussing next weekend. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's our topic. See you there. Or at least online if you don't come. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Am I audible?
Ah, very good.
Okay. So, I have this question from several months.
For several months?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the Manishanam Sahasreshu verse,
Yes.
Yeah, it says, out of thousands of men who strive for perfection, and out of those people who
hardly one knows me in truth.
Yeah, so I would like to know, here, I mean, as per my understanding, who strives for perfection, in the sense, who is practicing Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. So even the thousands of people who are practicing Bhakti Yoga, which is very powerful, only one is actually attaining the Supreme. So what qualities or what differentiate that one person out of those thousand, what Krishna likes in him?
Say just the last part again, not the whole thing. What are the qualities that Krishna is attracted by? That's your question?
Not exactly.
No. What's your question? Say it slowly and clearly.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry for talking so fast. So, out of those thousands of men who are practicing for perfection,
I got that part.
Only one attains the truth.
Only one knows me in truth.
Knows me in truth. So, what makes that person
what distinguishes those that don't and those that do know?
Yes.
What's that quality or characteristic?
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah.
Shuddha Bhakti. So, give him the microphone, and I'll. So, there's different. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatatis. Those who are striving for perfection, hardly one achieves perfection. Now, what's that perfection? It can be different kinds of perfection. It can be Brahman realization. Perfection in the sense of neutral, no longer material contamination, Brahman realization. And then supposing one goes further and then they enter into a life of bhakti, and then of those who are engaged in the life of bhakti, some know Krishna in truth. So those that know Krishna in truth is where Krishna decides to reveal himself in truth, in his fullness. Take a little example. Vyasadeva. Now, Vyasadeva is not just a fellow. He is incarnation of the Supreme Lord. But he's taking the position like one of us, doing this activity that we can't do, compiling all the Vedas flawlessly. No mistakes. Certified by Narada. But he didn't sufficiently glorify Krishna. He is included so many other things. Narada says, because people are already inclined to fruitive activities, you've pretty much, like, it's authorized. You've endorsed it. Because you haven't sufficiently glorified bhakti. So do that. And to do that, here's one too. Meditation and trance, then the realization, rewrite the Bhagavatam. So it does that. So do that. So the principle is being very clear, you or me or those who have achieved this perfection, come to the spiritual platform, be really clear what the mission is, sufficiently glorifying Krishna. Now, how to best do that, there's considerations of time, place, circumstance. But that's the distinction between, you know, knowing Krishna, and that is Krishna decides to reveal himself as he did to Vyas. He revealed himself in full. Pashyat Purusham Purnam. He saw the whole spiritual world. Brahma saw the whole spiritual world. So what did he do? He underwent tapasya. What was his tapasya? He chanted his mantra for a long time. He wasn't like impatient. He was very patient. So that means Krishna will reveal himself as he chooses to reveal himself. A phrase that I like. When we surrender to Krishna fully, please know in advance, it's on Krishna's terms, not your terms. That's a business deal. I surrender to you and I'm expecting something back on my terms. And if you violate my terms, you've broken the contract. I'm going to go somewhere else. You're not a good, you know, provider of my needs. It's not on my terms. So it's not like that. When that on my terms sensibility, the expectation in the way that we want Krishna to be for us, it's just Krishna's pleasure. That's Shuddha. Then you can know Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to contribute to that discussion between Sthira Mataji and Your Divine Grace. So I saw that the word that is used there is anamayam, which is translated as getting free from sinful reactions. And that word appears many, many times in Bhagavatam as well. And that word generally is translated as freedom from miseries, not freedom from reactions. And in that purport also, Srila Prabhupada throughout emphasizes on the mode of goodness, happiness, not so much actually becoming free from reactions. So I just wanted to share that.
And the mode of goodness happiness is a type of conditioning also. A material conditioning. Not a spiritual happiness. It's a life is good. And I didn't yet get to the position of taking full shelter of Krishna. Life is good. I'm experiencing happiness. And you know what? Out of the abundance of happiness that I have, I want to do things for other people. I want to be compassionate and help other people. And that increases my happiness. It's a conditioning, explicitly, in Bhagavad Gita's terms. One becomes conditioned by that happiness and the mode of goodness. Stira, you got it? Yeah. Okay. Something else, or we're done? Way in the back. Oh. And then someone up here? Prem Kishore, you have? Okay. Last two questions. Yeah.
Maharaj, you were saying our activities should be done in a way that it's pleasing to Krishna.
Yeah.
So just following up with that question, Taruni Radha Madhavi asked, is it sometimes, like yesterday I was chanting in this mood of Krishna, I'm doing this for your pleasure, but I'm not sure if, you know, that really pleased Krishna or not. So is it, sometimes I pray that please reveal to me if this particular activity that I'm doing is really pleasing to you or pleasing to the Lord or not. So how to really like understand this particular thing that I'm doing is really pleasing Him, or what are the certain attachments that I have that Krishna wants me to let go, that awareness or kind of a reciprocation, like there's a desire to hear receive some reciprocation from the Lord to confirm whether my particular activity is pleasing to Him or not.
Well, several things. One is, you've heard me probably say this 100 times. Let's just be real and acknowledge that there's a mix in our devotion, of our interest in trying to please Krishna. But that means, let's say, in this particular example, I want to please Krishna, but I want, you know, I want a happiness that says I'm, my activities are pleasing to Krishna. And whatever else, I want some recognition, I want some sense of accomplishment, I want, you know, because materially speaking, we all know the program very well. We do something because we want a sense of accomplishment. And there's a challenge, and we rise to the occasion of the challenge, so we have some sense of accomplishment. I did it. Etc. There's all kinds of material mixes going on within us. So that's a starting point. Just assume. Now, second, looking for a sign from Krishna. Well, He's in our heart. And as we have heard from many who have shared what it's like to chant where it's there's no expectation. Time, it's just being with Krishna. And that's unique. It's not like that's the only position of pleasing Krishna. We'll go back to yet a third thing. The fact that you're striving to chant in such a manner that's pleasing to Krishna is pleasing to Krishna. Even there's a mix. Now we just continue with that in Utsahan Nishchaya Dharyat. Just continue with that. Enthusiastically. Very patient. With firm conviction. Like the example that was given yesterday. there's a hand with a glove. And we wiggle the hand, that means the glove wiggles. So we're making, with our contaminated consciousness, we're trying to please Krishna, although the reality is our consciousness is not pure. But we're trying. Anushilana. We're cultivating that consciousness. That's pleasing to Krishna. And can it be, are we there yet? Like, you know, keep going to the point where a standard, if you want to, you know, what's some indication? There's no expectation. And as Prabhupada said, one just continuously chants. Because you're with Krishna. And that's what you do when you're with Krishna. You don't need something, some sign or some feeling, some acknowledgement. Because it's not about me, it's about the relationship of love with Krishna. I'm feeling full. No, I don't. So, that's spontaneous. Then it's not just 16 rounds or 64 rounds, but 64 million rounds. And not, that's Prabhupada's terms. But cultivate. We have a long distance to go. But the effort is pleasing to Krishna. Then one other thing is profound humility. That's found in all of our great souls. Those that actually are at the top stages of pleasing Krishna, they don't feel they're there. They don't feel at all qualified. They feel unqualified. That's a symptom. Profound humility. To look inside, and is that what I'm feeling? Mostly, you know, some pride and, you know, some sense of achieving something that's a goal for us. That's where we are. So that's not fully pleasing to Krishna, but the effort is pleasing to Krishna. So we're in this mixed position. Keep going. Cultivate. Following the indicators of the perfected souls. Anushilana.
Hare Krishna Guru
Maharaj. Last question for the morning.
I have two questions.
Two questions for the morning.
Okay. The first one, little bit continuation. If you, little bit elaboration on Parayana, completely attached to such service without dependence and austerity or penance or cultivation of knowledge.
Yeah.
So how can you have that complete attachment?
Have a complete attachment.
Complete attachment. The word parayana in the verse, so completely attached to Krishna. So how can you have that attachment, complete attachment, without austerity or penance?
Oh, it doesn't mean you're a wanton person now. You have the license to be, you know, all over the place. That's not that attachment. It's not the dependency. It's there, but it's not the shelter.
Thank you, Maharaj. Second question is, on your experience with in the airport, in your interaction with those employees.
Yes.
So when we had the argument, there was within different religions, whether Christianity or any other religion, how do we feel we are not proud of it? To your point, that is it like our proud that we're having more bhakti yoga?
Certainly we can have pride over nothing. We can have pride that we have more bhakti than they do.
But end of the day,
yeah. Prabhupada, when he interacted, anyway, when he interacted with people of other faiths, he wasn't in that, you know, childlike, our faith is better than your faith. He would want to nourish their faith. No, he would do it in different ways. But that was the intention. He wanted to nourish their faith. And sometimes he'd do it in a warm way. Sometimes he would do it in a confrontational way. And, you know, he wasn't a cookie-cutter person. He saw that from Super Soul's inspiration, what was appropriate, and he would do it boldly. Sometimes gently, but many times, you know, boldly. I remember hearing one lecture. He was in London. There was a public program in a big hall, and a young Christian boy came to me after the program and said, Swamiji, I liked what you were saying very much because I'm Christian and there are many ideas that are similar. And Prabhupada said, I said to the young man, I never met him before, and I said, you're not a Christian. That was the first thing I said. And he said, oh, yes, I am. I'm a Christian. And he said, you know, he went through the killing animals thing. In your Bible, Christians follow the Bible, yes? Yes, of course. And in the Bible, does it say, thou shalt not kill? Yes. Are you killing animals? No. Are you a vegetarian? Are you taking meat? Yes. If you're killing animals, you're not Christian. The Bible says you follow what... It's the Bible, but he's probably said Christ said. It's the Old Testament, but Christ said, thou shalt not kill. And you're killing, so you're not a Christian. The boy was shocked. And Prabhupada was, I mean, he wasn't bragging about, I got him. You know, he was helping us understand, depending upon circumstance, and one needs to have stature and, you know, power, purity and stuff to be able to say something like that to somebody you've never met before. But he, you know, he wanted us to understand this is a way that we can help people go towards faith in their own teachings. So living by it, not just say I'm Christian. Because then comes someone, well, you know, yeah, I'm not following, but Christ died for our sins, so it's okay. And then, you know, then there's another conversation.
Thank you.
Easy for pride, for one to be proud of anything or next to nothing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now I brought with me, because there's a smaller audience today, some maha prasadam, because the audience was too big before. But I'm pretty sure there's enough to go around.
Hare Krishna, a little announcement, Maharaj.